Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
As you can see from the title, we have Alex Meyer on for a third time today. He was a wrestler at the University of Iowa. He allows us to make this podcast actually sound good and have some legitimacy when we talk about wrestling. We also get into his head of what it's like to be an Iowa wrestler and be in that room, right? But then we also talk about the Jake Gervais tweet, and it's a two-part podcast. It's fun. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 202 of the podcast. And I can't lie, today, this podcast that we're about to do has me a little bit horny. And it's not only because I'm staring at Kevin's luscious, perfectly groomed beard and nice face that I just gave him credit to being the best looking member of this podcast, hands down. But it's actually because our guest today is a comeback guy, and he gives us the opportunity to talk about one of the greatest, if not the greatest sports on the planet, and some of the most badass men in the whole world, who I have even more respect for after completing all of about 5 wrestling practices in recent history. Alex Meyer, welcome back to the podcast. And I want to start off by giving you a little fellatio and letting you know that I had respect, verbal fellatio. I'm sorry. Let me pause.
We're just sucking guys off on the podcast now.
I had respect for you, your teammates, your peers, as I watched you, because I was a fan. I knew what you did was hard. I never knew it was as hard as it actually is, and how twisted you assholes are for putting yourselves through that for the entirety of your lives. So I turn it over to you as one of the newly crowned toughest people alive by me on this podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, Drake. Can we segue into revisiting Kluver?
He got right into it.
So being able to get away from Spencer Lee, the now 2-time Hodge champion.
I feel so as you talk, Alex, I feel like in your voice, you're feeling disrespected by that statement, which in a situation that doesn't even involve you. I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
I was trying to think of something that's just like comparable to how good Spencer Lee is and how someone could get away from him. And the best thing I could come up with was, first, I wanted to hear your rationale on why you could get away from Spencer.
Sure. Yeah. And I fully understand that I'm coming at this from a place of
ignorance,
complete ignorance. Right. So
he's a real casual.
Hell yeah. I'm the most casual on this podcast when it comes to wrestling. So there's that. So I guess in my, And I'm also not stating that this would be, like, my statement was never that it was a guaranteed thing. I think that there is, I thought the more that it seems like every episode we've had recently is like Tristan said, I had no fucking when Tristan said that he thought he would have trouble getting out from Spencer Lee. Then I was like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't have said that. So my original rationale was I am currently, you know, if he's at 125, I'm currently 80 pounds heavier than him. Cause for those that follow the fitness stuff that I do, I got down to 185. We've beefed back up because we're trying to get a little stronger. And so I'm 80 pounds heavier. And I don't know what kind of difference it makes in wrestling. I just feel like 80 pounds is a lot. I also know that, or I had a feeling that reach and stuff like that mattered. And I had to imagine that I have like some kind of biomechanical advantage just being tall. I don't know how tall Spencer is. How tall is Spencer?
Like 5'4".
Yeah. So, I mean,
so like you're like 2 inches taller than him.
So I'm at least a half inch taller than him. Right. And I don't know. It just feels like, and I think what, honestly, Alex,
you need to tell us why he couldn't, cause I'm very interested on the exact reason why.
No. And I'm going to let him get there. The true honest majority of this opinion is just the fact that I'm a competitor, and it's very hard for me to just pridefully say, especially in an ignorant situation, like, oh, 100%, I have no chance in anything, right? And so it's like a 1% of 1% of me that says, you know, maybe you find a way out. Maybe you could, but it's becoming smaller and smaller that I believe that as we sit here and talk. So, you know, go with that.
That's fair. So this is the best comparison I can think of. It's like, just because you have two arms and two legs, you'd think it'd be easy to catch a pass and make it across the end zone. But once you get out there, a little more difficult said than done.
I'm getting fucking
Kluber knows all about that because he has two arms and two legs. And he caught a shit pass. Shout out to our guy for converting on a shit pass.
Yeah.
But it is pretty tough to cross that end zone line sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, Alex. Now
that was a good joke. I don't know if it's the best comparison, but props to you, Alex. I liked it a lot.
Do any of us have a chance?
Maybe. I think Kluber's pretty close on like the 1% of the 1% where you may have a chance in that first half a second if somehow you can beat him to your feet and not let him get his hands locked and not tie up your arms or legs and get away instantly.
Yeah.
But more than a second, he's going to find some handles and bring it back to the mat, and then it's over.
I explain
you don't
to
get
me
out in that first half a second.
Yeah. So I watch them in the down position, right? And I watch it. I don't know what I'm watching though. As a mm-hmm. you know, maybe Drake probably knows a little bit better. So I hear about the tilt and the elbow, and talk to me about that. What does Spencer do to me immediately if this plays out? What is the first thing that happens? What's going through his mind? Once we're on the mat.
First thing going through his mind is score, get you on your back.
He's not trying to just ride you out. He's trying to try to pin you.
I understand that. I said that poorly.
That's so special. Yeah.
I mean, what's going through his mind if he gets me on the mat is I'm going to eat this fucking kid alive. I mean, I'm going to, I mean, this is why am I wasting my time? That's what's going through his head. But I meant more in general in that position as a wrestler wrestling any other wrestler. What if you're trying to ride them out or prevent them from escaping? What's the best go there?
Yeah, so I texted a couple guys yesterday who like wrestled with him a lot over the years, because mm-hmm. I've obviously never wrestled with him either. I've trained with him and stuff, but not actually wrestled on the mat with him. And they both said that he transitions so well, where like you try to defend one thing that he's doing, and by the time you defend that, he's got something else that's even tighter. Mm. And then you defend that, and then he's got something else that's even tighter. And he so he runs that bar that you were talking about, mm-hmm. and he just controls that arm, and you try to fight that, then he comes to the other side with a half, and you pick which sword you want to fall on.
Yeah,
because either way, it's not going to end well.
So,
I was going to say that bar, that the what he's trying to do is keep my arm straight by pushing on the back of my elbow.
Exactly.
So that I can't pick my arms up off the ground and try to get to his grab hold on me and get out. Right. So that's essentially, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's wild.
He controls wrist really well. Where he, go ahead.
That's wild to me that, I guess it's a shot to the pride that to think that he could put his hand on the back of my arm and I couldn't pick it up. I did that. And obviously I don't get that because I've never been on a wrestling mat, part of the ignorance, but I mean, I don't doubt it. I'm definitely not doubting Spencer.
And that's what he does so well is a lot of guys, a lot of guys will try to control your arm with his arm. He controls your arm with his arm and then puts his chest behind it and then drives his feet behind that. So you got to somehow swim out that arm when he's got his entire body squeezing your arm like this.
Mm. Yeah. Now, okay. So
at what point does body weight come into actually helping you? Because I have a hard time believing that Tristan Wirfs couldn't escape from.
And Tristan's wrestled, dude. Tristan's a state champion. He's sandbagging by saying that.
Yeah,
he was clearly sandbagging by saying that.
No, I think, I don't know. I think Tristan could get away eventually.
If they put Tristan and Spencer on a mat and Tristan just can't get up, I think I die and go to heaven right there. That'd be incredible, right?
I think he could get up, but like a 30-second overtime, I think Spencer could win.
Yes. Tristan works.
Could he even get his arms
could ride it?
Tristan's a big dude.
Yeah. I think he could.
It's unbelievable. I'm not gonna.
I don't think he could turn him, but I think he could ride him for 30 seconds. He doesn't have to get his arms around him. He picks up a leg, drives him out of bounds six times, and then it's 30 seconds are over.
Do you know how strong those legs are out of bounds?
I would shit my pants.
Yeah, I just see, I could 100% see him doing that to just guys Tristan's size, but not Tristan. Tristan's just too much of a world-class athlete to let that happen, and with a wrestling background. So, I don't know. But other fat guys that are 6'4", 6'5", 300-plus pounds, yeah, I bet he smokes them.
Yeah. The 600-pound people have a hard time getting up without something on their back. So I think
my 600-pound life. Yes, Spencer pins the shit out of them. I mean, what do you think? All right. Well,
have you guys ever heard the story when Corey Clark wrestled Jaleel Johnson in the dorms?
No, but that sounds incredible.
You know, I had heard that happening. I don't know exactly what happened though.
The podcast is going to very much enjoy this story, though, so proceed.
Can someone give some background on how big Jaleel Johnson is?
Damn near as big as fucking Tristan.
He's a 6'4", 300-pound sugar bear.
Sugar bear?
That was one of the best. So
we're in the hallway at Hillcrest on those little tiny narrow hallways. And him and Corey Clark, who wrestled 125, 133 pounds, were just kind of like messing around. Kind of what Kluber was saying, where he's like, Corey's like, no, I could take you. And Jaleel's like, no, you couldn't. And he's got like his big, huge bear paws. And he's like palming Corey's head, just like holding him at arm's length. And somehow Corey kind of gets under his arms and hands. And gets into a double leg.
Oh, Jesus.
And Jaleel kind of realizes he's a little bit in trouble. And Corey adjusts and picks him up about this far off the mat or the floor and just sweeps his legs out from underneath him and just drops him in front of the whole dorm.
Oh, like our,
yep. And we had a pretty legendary dorm floor. We had all the wrestlers, Jaleel, Faith, Bethard.
Yeah, I mean, Keith, you guys had Parent, legends in there.
Reed Sealby, Mitch Kepi. They're like all there, and it was
that's one of those. Your dog is unhappy in the background, pal. He's crying for you.
I think he's crying about that. Jaleel Johnson just letting him. I mean, Jaleel definitely wasn't happy about that. Jaleel loved – I mean, I think every single day in the locker room, Jaleel and Faith would slap box. And
– Drake, didn't you do a slap box with Jaleel one time and you
– No, so this actually went poorly. Jaleel and I are good friends, and we were good friends. But one day in the weight room after a workout, we were doing a little shadow boxing, if you will. For fun. He probably said something to me. I said something back that he didn't like.
He was mouthy as shit.
And I accidentally hit him with a pinky on his lip, and his lip started to bleed. And he was not happy about that. And when I came strolling back into the locker room, he had a couple words with me that may have ended up with me getting punched in the face once for free. And I said, okay, you had that one. And it didn't go any further. He understood that it was an accident, but it did almost turn into a real altercation there for a second. We were in some hot water.
Good times. Yeah, you guys had a pretty interesting floor there. I know you guys were the menace for some of the squirrels outside of Hillcrest.
So the legend
with y'all? With the BB gun and the squirrels out the window?
Oh, something like that.
Allegedly.
Rabbits, supposedly.
Plead the fifth.
No evidence.
Can't prove it.
So, Alex, talk to me about how this Courtney kid feels who wrestled Spencer in the championship and really any of these guys that learned that Spencer had no good ACLs. How does that feel mentally to get beat by a guy who's like, I mean, he's 50%, not even.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably got it. I mean, none of them knew it until after the tournament.
Right.
But I mean, what are you going to do against a guy that's literally the best in the country and possibly one of the best in the world?
Well, that's where I was going next, is how good
in what you got. Yeah,
like what, like is he like, because that's what people are starting to say,
healthy, he has to be the best in the world. There's no way at 125 he's not the best in the world with two good knees.
Could be. Yeah, he's won 3 age group world titles already. Hasn't made a senior world team yet, but hasn't really had the opportunity yet.
Yeah.
It was going to be real interesting. Olympic team trials next weekend, if he was going to be able to go.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's going to hold out and heal up, which I think is probably the right decision for him. But
who is he going to have to wrestle against for the US team?
Gilman was probably
one of the favorites. Who's Gilman?
Gilman's in there. Fix from Okie State is going to be in there.
He's not real happy with himself right now.
No.
I've got all the brackets pulled up.
Who was your biggest surprise, like from the Hawks this year on a positive side? Because we don't like to diss on people because we really love our Hawks. But like on a bright side, who'd you think outperformed their expectations?
I thought DeSanto looked really, really good. I know he got third, close to beating Fix in the quarters or the semis, whatever it was.
It was the semis, and it was damn close.
The semis, yeah. I think he looked real as good as I've ever seen him. I know he's always, you know, you kind of put him in that third through fifth category, I would say, according to the rankings and stuff. But I think he wrestled really, really well, really consistent, probably the best I've ever seen him.
So what do you think he has to do to, because like RBY seems to be improving at the steepest trajectory, and he's the best athlete by far. What do you think DeSanto has to do to up his game a little bit? Because RBY looks like really pretty sick right now and like on a superstar trajectory.
Yeah. I don't know how the Penn State guys are doing what they're doing and winning the matches they're winning in the semis and the finals. It's pretty incredible, and I hate to say that, but it's impressive. So you got to.
Well, there's a little bit of stalling. I mean, it seems.
Yeah. Play the game a little bit.
Sure.
But as far as DeSanto catching RBY, I think he has to wrestle him in his positions where he's good, because I don't think he matches up well with RBY's wrestling with speed.
Yeah,
DeSanto's way tougher than him. RBY is much faster than DeSanto, so it's whatever positions they're going to wrestle in for 7 minutes.
What do you think about RBY's tactic in the Big Ten about him holding his hand behind his back so DeSanto couldn't grab it? Honestly, that made me want to throw my remote at the screen. I was like, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but there's nothing against it. Yeah. It's frustrating as hell to watch, and you know that's exactly why he's doing it. But that's what Penn State's doing, is they're game planning against our guys. And, you know, they're winning some of those matches, especially like Ironman and Kemmerer in the national finals.
We were
kind of out game plans.
Yeah, we mentioned it briefly, not a lot of hardcore breakdown like you can kind of do, but Ironman wrestled Lee, not our Lee, but another really good Lee from Penn State. And then who did Kemmerer wrestle? He wrestled
Starachi.
Yeah, Starachi. Those two, obviously great wrestlers, but we had the one seeds. What went wrong there? Why, you know?
And also back on top of that, does it have anything to do with the fact they just beat them a couple weeks before? Because, like, it is sometimes hard to beat a team twice. And I'm sure it's hard to beat an extremely elite level individual twice. So, like, does that play into it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely hard to beat someone twice. There's been multiple guys that we've had that got second or third at Big Tens and then end up winning a national title 2 weeks later, beating some of the same guys. I think they kind of got out game planned. I'm sure their training and their lifestyle, all that stuff was as perfect as it could have been. It's just on that Saturday night, the other guy was better.
So I've got a question, Kev, before you go here. The brands, the Iowa wrestling room, when we would go to practice, and Drake and Kevin actually both could talk to this a little bit more than I could, but there's a certain level of anxiety because of how turned on you had to be. Like, when the lights were on, you had to go. And it wasn't like for Drake, when the lights were on, he had to full on ram his head and face and body into full grown men that were trying to do the same thing to him. And there's a certain level of anxiety knowing what you're about to do, and then and still having to do that day in and day out. Was there any of that as on the daily wrestling in the type of program like Iowa, like knowing that you're at the top of the top every single day, wrestling against the best in the nation every single day, practicing, like, because to some extent each guy in the room has to sort of elevate that environment to, you know, to the best of his ability, so that as a whole the room stays at that level and the legacy continues. Was there ever an anxiety to that? Are you guys just so fucked in the head that you guys are like, you guys don't even think about it? Just start, hey, we're just going to wrestle. This is what we do.
A little of both. I think, like, for a lot of guys, the biggest difference from elite level high school guys to elite top college rooms is you got to be ready to go every day, every practice. It doesn't matter how hard your lift was that morning or the practice the night before or whatever. You got to get up for each practice. And I think over multiple years, you practice getting up for each practice, then you're ready to get up for each match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
there's some that are, they have a little extra emphasis, the Penn States, the Okie States, the Iowa States. You get those 1-2 matchups. There's a little extra something on them. So, they may be a little bit easier to get up for, but you also have to realize the other team is getting up every time. When you're in an Iowa singlet, you're going to get the best from whoever's across the mat from you, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little extra motivation to get up and know that you have to, or you're going to get beat by somebody.
How good does it feel to finally see the Hawks get back on the top of the podium this year? Cause it's been, what, 10, 11 years since
2010. Yeah. Yeah, it all is right in the world when I was on top of NCAA wrestling.
We're just going to call it back-to-back champs because, like...
Yeah, back-to-back for sure.
Because, yeah.
It means a lot.
Go ahead.
It means a lot to the program, and, you know, it's bigger than just the guys, the support staff, the training staff, medical staff, all the guys, the coaches, their families. It means a lot to the whole program, and I think the Iowa City and Iowa community.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
When I came in 2012, we still had a lot of guys that were on those 2010 national championship teams. Mm-hmm. And they all had jackets that were just like black zip up jackets, and then an Iowa wrestling logo on the front, and on the sleeve it just said Big Ten champs, national champs. And I just wanted one of those jackets so dang bad, and we never got one while I was there. And it's, you know, it's something that you always want it, but there's nothing you can do about it now. But I'm just happy those guys got it this year, especially after last year, and they didn't get it in Minneapolis, but they got it this year, and a lot of those guys can come back for another one next year.
Absolutely. Now, before we talk about going back for it again next year to make it back to back to back, I almost feel embarrassed to say this, but, you know, maybe that's just how spoiled we are with Iowa wrestling right now. We secured the team national title before the finals matches, and it still almost feels like we underperformed in the nationals. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I a complete asshole by saying that?
It feels the same way for me. You know, you watch those guys – knowing that we had already won the national title, but it still stings a little bit. And it's the exact same when I was on the team. We'd get second, third, fourth in the nationals, and we'd have a couple guys lose in the finals, a couple guys win. I mean, there's always a bittersweet ending to every tournament, win or lose. Most likely you're not going to have 10 NCAA games, even though that's the goal. Someone likely will lose on the team, and you hurt for those guys. I know Tom and Terry hurt for the guys that lost in the finals.
For sure. Yeah, definitely wanted to see Chem Dog get his national title out. That was a tough one to swallow. And then, you know, Ironman too, just losing at the end there was tough to watch too. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, hey, we won the national title, but we only got one individual title, and we had several guys like – not have their best meet. And it's just like, well, we got most of these guys coming back. Should we win by more next year or what?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the expectations of the program. You don't really celebrate the Big Ten titles as much. You're always looking for the national titles.
It's a good place to be. You talk about celebration. It seems not just the Iowa guys. It seems like a lot of wrestlers are this way. Do these guys behind the scenes take time to enjoy the wins? Because it looks like they don't. Like some, these guys, they get in front of the mic. First of all, so, I'm convinced that wrestlers are either the best or the worst on the mic. Because these guys get up there and they're just like, some of them don't want to be there. And they're just like, yeah, Big Ten champion or national champion. Got some work to do. Got to go back next year. Thanks. And it's just like, you can enjoy it. Like you can be. Now, my favorite wrestler, Ferrari, he seemed to enjoy it. That's my guy. Alex hates this
guy. He would be your guy.
Yeah.
I don't hate him. I appreciate what he's doing, but it's not my flavor at all. I mean, he's doing himself, I guess. Do you, bro?
Yeah. Sick.
Kluver wishes he was doing him.
No. No, dude, I just like to see a little life out of him, you know? And Spencer shows life. The Iowa guys show a lot more life than some of these dudes, but it's like, you know, it's even sometimes on the podium pictures. And I know you just said, like, you don't even celebrate, like, but you know, I feel like there should be a little bit more enjoyment. It's almost like, I get it. We're focused on winning the national championship, or you're focused on getting to the next, you know, you're not a senior yet. So you're focused on, okay, now I'm going to be a two-time champion. But at some point it's like the career ends, man. And you got to like stop and smell the roses at least a little bit, get a waft during the journey, mm-hmm. or else you're going to be done and you won't be, I mean, you can look back on it and enjoy it, but I just feel like you're leaving a little on the table if you don't do it while you're there.
You know? No, the Iowa guys, at least, they definitely enjoy it. Okay. It's more after the fact. It's so hard to do it, like, as you walk off the mat. Those interviews, they're so hard to do. And they're bad interviews, most of them.
Yeah.
Unless it's Ferrari.
Legend.
But it's so, like, as soon as those guys walk off the mat, if it's not the end of the tournament, they've already started to think about their next match. They've started to think about what they're going to do to get their weight off that night, what they're going to eat, what they're going to fuel with, stuff like that. And most of the guys, media is their last thought at that point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at the end of the tournament, 32 of the 33 guys didn't get what they want. So that's kind of, you know, they have that sour taste in their mouth.
Yep.
Just like we were talking about earlier, where, you know, you're on the podium in your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever, where you didn't get what you want, but you may appreciate it more later.
Okay.
But definitely, you know, after the season, the guys let loose a little bit, have some fun, you know, get out of town, that kind of stuff.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Because sometimes it just feels like, I mean, it literally looks like some of these guys wake up and they're just like, it doesn't matter what day of the year it is. If they're in season, if they're out of season, they wake up and it's just like straight up, who the fuck am I going to pin today? I got to pin somebody. I got to fucking wrestle. Where did I go? I need my hands on somebody. I got to go. I'm going to go wrestle this dog that's walking past my house. Cause I got to, it's like, they don't think of anything else. It's insane, but it's good to hear that they let loose a little bit.
Yeah. And that was like one of the recruiting pitches against us for a long time was that I was just a bunch of robots and all they do is wrestle. They have no fun. And that was Penn State's big thing is, oh, we have fun and so fun to wrestle here. And I'm having a lot of fun and me and my friends have fun. And it's like, yeah, so does Iowa. We have fun too. And we just don't have to put it in the interview 17 times to let you know that we're having fun.
True.
So I think if you spend more than 10 minutes with any of the rest Iowa guys, you definitely know that they're a good group. They have a lot of fun. Take them
good Pat Amber quote out there. He's like, yeah, I've had my fun, but nothing's been as fun as playing in front of 75,000 people. So, or winning in front of 75,000 people. So,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
The interviews coming off the mat, they can be tough.
Yeah. How
it can be seem forced, but
how good is that Stevenson guy? He pretty good. He's decent.
I think he's decent. You know, he's above your average Joe.
Question: where does he compare to Snyder?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Snyder versus Stevenson, who wins?
I don't know.
Really?
I haven't seen Snyder wrestle too much recently. We'll see him at Olympic trials next weekend.
Probably looking like a little bitch.
I'd say it's a coin flip. They're not at the same weight.
Yeah, what a...
Steve's at heavyweight. Snyder's at 97 kilos.
Yeah.
Snyder makes it all the way down to 97 kilos?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying.
That's a dangerous 97.
What did he wrestle at when he was wrestling heavyweights back in college? Because he was, I think...
I want to say it was like 220 or 230. Jesus. He was dwarfed by like Adam Kuhn, who was all up to 85, 6 foot. But
he was still just tossing those dudes around, which was insane. So that's why I think that Snyder's got a good shot for Stevenson.
No, I think it's a coin flip between those two.
You mentioned the guys coming off the mat already thinking about like getting their weight up. What's like your go-to like meal? What do you hammer just like when the weight, you know, when you don't have to think about it, when you can use it to your advantage? What was like you just go smash a whole bowl of pasta or like Kevin would just like smoke some chicken parm or, you know, what's the best meal?
One of the best meals is Monica's chicken parm.
Ooh, Monica's pulling it from the black card region. That place, that place was decent, boys.
Black card was after my time. We never had black card when I was there.
That's tough.
Never got to experience the goods.
I'm sorry about that.
Athletes these days got a good.
Kevin, put your mic back in. I'm going to segue here, and this actually means something. Unless you guys have anything else to talk about wrestling wise, because we're going to get to shit on Jake Gervais.
Yeah, I was just waiting till this opportunity, man. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I told Jake as soon as it happened that I was looking forward to taking my time to shit on him in a similar manner that I've been shit on by others before.
Plenty.
So here we go.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with his tweet. Alex, this is going to be pertinent to you as well because it actually talks about the wrestling team.
And you're going to enjoy it. From your side of things, this is all roses.
Yeah. And you're a former student athlete, similar to us, similar to Jake Gervais. And I'm interested in your take on it. So I believe it was right after the Hawks lost and both of the Hawkeye basketball teams as a quick interspersed topic here have been exited from the tournament. The women's team played fantastic. Even though they got beat by 20 by UConn, UConn just is, I mean, they have everybody outgunned, but Caitlin Clark, insane, Sonano, insane. That freaking Warnock chick is raining threes in. I mean, the women's basketball team at Iowa is going to be good for the next like 3-4 years. And then hopefully the last 7-8 years, all the way going back to Gustafson, has built this reputation to where we can become like a, you know, a title contender at some point, or at least a perennial Big Ten championship contender. Because first of all, Bluter's insane. She's like Coach Ference. They've both been there forever. And I mean, the coaches at Iowa are just insane all around, but that the women's team was really fun to watch and they played well, even though they got beat by 20. The men's team ran into an absolute buzzsaw against Oregon, who played a damn near perfect game. I don't know if any of you guys got to watch that, but I mean, Oregon, I was
able to catch a little bit of the second half.
They could not have played better. Honestly, they couldn't have. And Iowa didn't play their best, obviously, but that was tough. Anyway, Jake Gervais, Iowa men's basketball team loses. And I believe he also texted me. He wanted me to tell the people he was using us. He was using our platform. He's like, let the people know what I really meant. Okay. And that is an interesting thing because it is funny how people assume that the way that they read a tweet is 100% the way that it's meant. Like that was the intention. So there's a little bit of fault on the reader's side, on the consumer side of things, but Jake didn't help himself out. The tweet read, "One team is just grateful for the opportunity to compete." He's referencing the wrestling team. ... Goes out and wins a national title. The other complains about a bubble and the gift bag, .. knocked out in the second round. Seems about right. And I saw this tweet like almost immediately. And it had already gotten some shit, like some heat. And I just responded to him. I was like, Jervy, that is some heat right there. And he must have gotten off Twitter because he didn't reply to me or even text me for like an hour. But it absolutely exploded. And
how Kevin about Jervy with a hot take is rare.
Rare.
You're not going to see that out of Gervas very often.
In fact,
the best part is this is the part where I get to gloat in this a little bit.
Yeah, go
because Gervas has watched me create fires on purpose and just melt. And he's made reference many times to me. We've spoken about these outbursts. And then he just goes and does it himself, knowing that he's far too sensitive to take all that shit. Like, guy.
He deleted the tweet.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he deleted the tweet. He got absolutely massacred, both in the responses to the tweet and on the message boards, which is where I ended up finding the tweet again. I think that part of this is Gervas underestimating how much people cared about his opinion on Twitter. Because like you said, he really doesn't do this type of stuff. And as pointed out by many of the people who shit on Jake for the tweet, he was one who called me out when I had my little Twitter drama during this past football season. And so,
yeah, I would say those are the same situations though.
And I agree. It's a different situation. I was talking about a guy that I played with. And mine was true. And Gervas was talking about a guy that played a completely different sport. And might be also true. Question mark?
So well, what he brought to the table was true. I mean,
interesting.
They were bitching about a couple of things.
You guys, I'm not on Twitter, so you guys got to fill me in what the complaining about the bubble and gift.
Yep. So that's a good place to go here. So he is referencing, I think he said, and I will check in my messages, but I believe he said that Ironman put out a tweet that said it was basically, it made it look like he was comparing straight up the wrestling team to the basketball team. That's where he messed up, as he wasn't specific enough. Even if he was specific, he would have got shit here. But I believe he's referencing Ironman versus, oh no, Kemmer. Kemmer tweeted that they were just thankful to be there. And he's specifically talking about Jordan Bohannon, who sources tell me Gervas does not like Bohannon. And I believe that source was actually. So I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts? Because it brings up a valid point. I understand that it's a bad.
Yeah, I don't know. What is the complaining about the gift bags thing? Is that?
I don't know. I didn't see that part. I guess, but I think he's also referencing the fact that Bohannon has been on this campaign with other Big Ten players, other players across the country, the not NCAA property. And from the outside, it has looked like he's been putting in quite a lot of effort into the equality and NLI, whatever that stands, NIL, name, likeness, and whatever, an image. He's been putting a lot of time and effort into that. And I think Gervas was basically implying that maybe he should have, because I know Jake Gervas probably supports NIL or NLI, but I think what he's getting at here is that maybe worry about that after the tournament or something. It brings up a good point, because this is maybe the biggest fight in or purpose or movement against the NCAA for something that athletes and people have wanted for a really long time. But you're also on one of the best teams in the country trying to go win a national championship or go far in the tournament. So I don't know. What are your guys' opinions on this?
Alex, I think your opinion in particular is what he is looking for.
Any of you guys.
So I guess my question is, do any of you guys think that, I mean, Jordan Bohannon or any of those other guys.
Do I think that Kemmerer is tougher than Bohannon? Yes. Do I think that the mean level, meaning the average for you non-math people, the average of all data points being the mean level of toughness mentally on each team, there may be a different level. So now you can go.
I think, I don't think him, you know, having that stand is going to affect his play throughout the season. I mean, I get what he's coming from, and I see why basketball especially is kind of united in this thing that I think most sports would agree with. They have the most to gain. I mean, compare Bohannon with Spencer. Who's going to have more endorsement deals that are lining up at their door?
Well, in that case, I actually think – I think you're right here. I think Iowa's wrestlers would actually compete with football players and basketball players for endorsements. Now, but you're right. At other schools, at most schools, 95% of schools, the football players are – and then the basketball players are who this is going to most – greatly mm-hmm. benefit. Yeah, but you're right.
I mean I was a special place for wrestling, but what's the ceiling? You know, you get the Heisman winning quarterback, his ceiling's in the millions.
Yeah.
Where's Spencer's or the other Hodge Trophy winners, you know, where's their ceiling? Probably not as high.
It's you're right.
But I think, you know, you get those mainstream sports are more vocal about it. Here's a question I had for you guys about this too. Can you guys not work like camps and stuff in the summer to make money?
You can work some of your team's individual camps. Like Coach Brian asked me to be a coach at camps that they were running. And so, yeah, as a player coach, we got like $20 or $40 for the camp or something like that, but that was sanctioned. So that was all cool. But other than that, like it was pretty tough to make any money.
Gotcha. Cause I know like the wrestling guys can go, they can do camp tours all summer and, you know, we fill out paperwork with compliance and stuff and make sure everything's the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But the big stipulation is like, it has to be the going rate. But who right. decides the going rate of a two-time Hodge Trophy winner coming to camp in, I don't know, Montana or Colorado? They can kind of pay whatever they want.
Yes. And but so, here's what they can't do. Spencer could not throw his own camp.
He can exactly. And right. that was the other stipulation is they technically couldn't be like, Spencer Lee is coming to this camp. You guys should all sign up. It's more like, Spencer Lee is a camp counselor mm-hmm. at this camp and we're paying him the going rate, but no one decided what the going rate was. So,
I mean,
we had camps in Iowa City every summer that are the Iowa wrestling camps.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who the counselors are going to be. And obviously that's a huge draw.
Right.
We didn't get rich. Definitely. That's for sure.
No. And similarly to Drake, I worked like the special teams camp that Iowa football put on, I worked it two summers. I think I made like $35 or whatever after they taxed it or whatever, maybe $55. And the whole argument is if Drake Kulik wants to go back to Muscatine and run a fullback camp and have fourth graders run their faces into each other for 2 hours.
Bro, there would be no fullback camp, dude. If I could have gone back to Muscatine, I would have sold it as a whole football camp, dude. Let me get every dime from every position.
And what
fullbacks.
And it's the greater issue and the whole movement. But, you know, why shouldn't you be able to do that? But
I agree. I definitely think that that's totally okay.
Right.
It should be okay.
Right.
Not okay now, but it should be.
And, but, But more so, I guess I'm with you, Alex. And the original question you wanted to kind of get to was, do I think that this actually, this energy, this focus that Jordan was putting into that movement and talking with other players and talking with people around the country, do I think that that affected his play? No, even though he scored 0 points in the last game. I think that's a coincidence
as well.
Right. I think that's a coincidence. Probably. Maybe it did. Maybe, you know, I never was a part of something like that where, you know, in the middle of the season, I was fighting another issue. I wasn't important enough, but I don't know. Gervais makes an interesting point. And I don't think that, I think a lot of people saw it and just saw it as a straight bash on either the basketball team or if they were good enough to read through it and figure out that he was Bohannon that he was talking about. They just saw it at face value and was like, wow, he's bashing. And they didn't even look at the point of, maybe he has an argument here. Maybe this is a valid thing to bring up. He just did it in a bad way. So
to your point, Alex, no, do I think Bohannon tweeting about, I don't know, gift bags or whatever Jake is referencing, does that make him less prepared for the game? Probably not. But I think there's something that is true in the overall sentiment, whereas like the wrestling team's like, hey, we're thankful to be here. We just want to go out. We just want to compete. We just want to win. And that's like just our sole focus, man. We just want to go out, compete, and win. Versus, you know, worrying about other stuff. It does it make you play better or worse? I don't know. I think there's something to be said about focusing on solely on winning, though. So I think Jake might be right there.
I agree. I think there's something to it. What would his performance be if he was just as focused as some of the wrestlers are winning a national title? But it goes back to the timeless rivalry between wrestlers and basketball players that wrestlers know that they're tougher and basketball players play basketball. I don't know.
You know, I don't think you're going to get much argument from any other athlete on campus that the wrestlers are the most psycho, most tough dudes on campus.
Yeah, so no chance.
I think you got 3 football players that will endorse that statement.
Yeah. Listen, dude, there are wrestlers significantly smaller in stature than me who have been giving me a significant dose of humble pie as of late. And just like my appreciation, adoration, respect for wrestlers has gone through the roof, because I just don't understand how you humans can do it so incessantly. And there is no off switch. Once you cut the switch on and until practice is over, it's 100 miles an hour. And if you're in the way, it's a bad day for you. And I've been on the train tracks too much lately, and I just don't get how you humans do it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what Kluwer was saying earlier, where those interviews in between rounds after guys come off the mat, they're not great. I mean, those guys are on 100% for 4 days straight. There's eat, sleep, breathe, wrestling. So when did you start getting into jiu-jitsu, Drake?
I think I'm in about month 6 or so, going into month 6.
If you're ever back in Iowa City, I have to check out Citadel.
I know, man. And I wish I would have known about it when I was there, because I absolutely would have started there. I've heard there's a real good black belt down there.
Yeah, they've got some good stuff going. I've gone a couple times last year. I haven't been in a while, but messed around with it a little bit. It's a good time.
Yeah, Kelly, it really is.
Matt, I want to see Alex Meyer run a good drink.
I would, well, in a gi, if he doesn't know what's going on in the gi, no disrespect, I probably have the advantage because I do it every single day, and the gi is a real advantage. But in no gi, I'm screwed. If I have no levers and no like extra options that he doesn't know about because he doesn't practice in the gi, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
100%, I'm getting away every time. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah. No,
like the rule set is different, but yeah, it would be real. I think I would spend more time in a negative position than he would. I don't think you would be trying to get away. I think I would be the one trying to get away.
Probably. I'd love to see it. I'm ready to see you in the octagon, Drake.
Dude, it's going to be a long time. Who knows if I ever even make it, dude. Like, you know how elite you have to be at so many different facets.
Pretty elite.
Like, I mean, I'll try. Like, I'm trying my hardest to be elite at one thing right now.
Sugar Sean O'Malley, baby.
Listen, I'm not him. I wish I was.
You got the elite mullet going on.
Thanks, man. I think, I try and harness the power of it because tough guys have mullets, and I'm not actually that tough, but I'm trying to use the mullet to enhance my toughness.
There you go.
Well,
now you want to talk about
can't grow a great mullet in a day, can't win a Big Ten title in a day.
I was just about to say, you want to talk about post-match interviews. That's one of the best ones of all time right there.
It is. Well, I got nothing left, and I'm betting the house on Spencer Lee versus me, but I'm still taking the opportunity if it came up.
Hey, you're just grateful for the opportunity.
I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be on the same mat. And other guys who play for the Rams, they're worried about other stuff. So, it is what it is. Anything else, guys?
I'm good.
Alex, thank you. Thank you for joining and providing some actual expertise in this. Otherwise, I just babble and sound like an asshole, and Drake and Kevin just let it happen. So
I texted Kevin the other day. I was like, Quiver has no idea what he's talking about with wrestling. And he's like, absolutely not.
And I'm more than happy to admit that. But it's sure fun to watch. We appreciate you coming on and talking about it. So you are now a 3-time guest. I'm pretty sure that's the record. And
making plays, he 3-time.
Yeah. And for those that want to listen, we originally had Alex on episode 61. And then we had him on right when Corona broke for episode 99. It's called the Corona Cast with Alex Meyer. So go listen to those if you liked what Alex had to say. We talk about wrestling in all of them, and they're entertaining, some of the better episodes we've done.
You can just skip 99. We were supposed to talk about last year's national championships. That didn't happen.
So I know.
We had nothing to talk about.
It was sad.
So, I mean, that is a year later. You are a doctor. Is Corona over now? Are we over the Corona Chronicles?
I think we can close the book on Corona Chronicles.
Hey.
I'm getting vaccinated.
Let's go.
I'll get vaccinated.
Let's go.
Corona Chronicles number 2, volume 2.
There you go. No.
If there's a volume 2.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. episode 202. Alex joined us. We got the whole squad together. It was a good time. Hopefully you guys learned something about wrestling and, at least enjoyed or were entertained by listening to how much of a chance I don't have. We'll be back again on Monday with another episode with somebody, probably. We'll figure it out. Talk to you then. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.